Hi guys, it's me, Merriweather. It's me, Joe. I'm gonna be joining you today. From
why'd you call yourself Merriweather?
So, funny story. We were gonna have a guest on for this episode called Merriweather. He's a famous web artist. He makes web comics, and I guess I didn't send him a reminder in time, and he didn't arrive for the episode. Sorry about that. So we're going to do an episode anyway. And
yeah, I guess.
With me, as always, I have Lars.
Yes?
I'm getting some breaking news right now that our VIP coordinator, Tej, got a response. It is him. So there is hope after all.
Whose response? Like, to what?
From Merriweather.
Oh, they're talking?
Apparently they're talking.
Okay.
This could turn into the adventure of a lifetime, Lars.
This is going to be really meta if he ends up like coming on right now.
This is going to be the
guys, hold out hope. This may still happen.
This would be the best thing ever. Tej is typing. He's typing right now, right as we speak. Tej is typing to me about Merriweather. He needs 2 minutes to get ready. He needs only 2 minutes!
All right.
Oh my god, I've never been so excited in all my life!
2 minutes.
Oh, that's it. Ooh, he only needs 2 minutes to get ready, and then he's gonna be... Oh my god, I knew it was worth sending that... Oh my god, my head's gonna explode! Lars, what are you feeling in this moment?
I'm feeling like we should leave this in.
Of course we should. We're leaving this in. This is pure raw emotion. I have never felt so exhilarated in all my life. I need to turn down my recording volume. It's capping. Oh my god. I'm gonna faint. I'm having a conniption.
Calm down, bro.
Oh my. Oh, what a thrill. What a rush. We should do this every week.
Just like risk it at the last minute.
Yes, for all the build up. Ooh, I only wish we had the 45 minutes of us scrambling to get in touch. Tej for the win. Ooh, he's getting a promotion.
All right, Joe, let's go ahead and let's practice our breathing. Your pills.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Less than a minute remaining. Oh my god.
Joe, I think when he said 2 minutes, he may have meant like a metaphorical 2 minutes.
Oh, it's okay. He can take all the minutes that he needs because this is happening. We don't have to reschedule. We just have to wait it out a little bit longer. And now we have the subject for our episode, Lars. Now we know just what we're talking about. At least for part of it. Ooh, I got another response from Tej. He's in the server. He's in the server. Everyone, please remain calm. I'm mostly talking to myself.
Welcome to the episode where Joe had an orgasm on air.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast, guys. What's your names again?
My name's Joe.
My name is Lars, and this is the first podcast, and we're joined today by a very special guest, Merriweather.
Thank you for inviting me.
Merry, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
I'm a guy from Denmark who makes comics, but I don't draw them. I write them. I produce, write, and direct webcomics for a mobile audience on an app called Webtoon, mm-hmm. which is the largest webcomic publisher in the Western world at this point in time. And that's what I do. I also do meme comics. I do Internet Explorer Chan, mm-hmm. and I do Stalker X Stalker, which is the fascinating philosophical question of whether, rather what would happen if two psycho stalkers started stalking each other.
Yeah, I actually was turned on to your work because my aunt sent me some of your Spookman comics on Facebook.
I see.
That's how I first found out about you.
Your aunt sent you Spookman.
And then Lars sent me the comics, and we were just both huge fans right away.
I'm a very passionate Spookman fan. It really speaks to me. Mr. Calcium, the various twists and turns that it takes.
Yeah, in this.
Actually, too much calcium is bad for you.
Yeah, I learned something too.
Absolutely. It's very educational. I like that comic a lot.
And then I found out that you actually do like non-jokey comics as well.
Wow. You must be one of the very, very few people who actually got introduced to me by Spookman. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, eventually you'll meet someone like that, yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and talk everything under the sun. Joe, did you have any immediate questions for our guest?
How long have you been making comics?
I suppose 7 years. I made my DeviantArt right around the time when I started trying to become a comic writer, and therefore I have always used my DeviantArt as as kind of a reminder, because it says how many years since this account was started on the front page of the account. So 7 years, but I've only really been professional for about 2-3 years.
Well, but it's been a good 2 to 3 years. You've blown up.
Yeah, it's going very well.
How did that happen? Was there like a specific event that happened that caused you to really blow up, or was it over like gradually over time?
I suppose by accident, really. If I was to explain how that process actually happened, was I used to do normal manga, which is everyone's read a manga. You've all read Dragon Ball, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
If you've read Dragon Ball or Naruto or something like that, you'll know that the comics are they're meant to be consumed in a printed format. Their pages are kind of wide. They're meant to be viewed in that way. They're black and white, so they're cheaper to print. And that's the sort of comic I used to write. But unfortunately, the only manga magazine in my entire country, which is Denmark, went bankrupt 2 months before I was meant to publish my first chapter, which is when I turned to webcomics. Unfortunately, the webcomics wasn't so popular back then, specifically because, well, they have been very popular in the past, but the type of webcomics I was doing was going out of fashion because it requires you to sit on a laptop or have a stationary PC or something, you know, read it on a PC.
Yeah.
Which is not really people's optimal way to read these days. They prefer to read books or prefer to read on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
Consume media on the go, as one would say.
Right.
Also, manga is very, very hard to produce and you can't really make a lot of money off it. Which leads to the natural conclusion to make shorter. Can you guys give me just a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, of course.
I'm sorry, my dear mother is yelling in Turkish into a mobile phone in the background, and that's not very good for
a podcast. That might be good for the recording.
That would be really funny.
Possibly. I can get her on later if you'd like. Anyway,
possibly.
It was really rather a... By the way, I'm home in Denmark right now. Normally I live in Tokyo, but I'm visiting family for a little year while I save up some money. It was an accident, really. I wanted to save money, and I did that by only asking artists to make 4 to 8 panels per episode.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than 30 or 19 panel, like 19 pages per episode, which was obviously way more expensive and way harder to make any money off. Because the panels were so short, they were made in a 4-comma comic format, which was how we did that. And the result of that is that by pure accident, they ended up fitting perfectly on a mobile phone because they were made vertically. Rather than horizontally, kind of, rather than a square, they were vertical.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes, and when the, around 3 years ago, 4 years ago possibly, various companies in the West started investing heavily into mobile format webcomics, which kind of gave a huge webcomic revival with companies like Webtoon and Tapastic. And Tapastic, was another company. It's not so popular anymore, but Webtoon specifically, which was something that had worked in Korea.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think your stuff in particular, not just the format, but your comics that you write have resonated with the audience?
Depends on which comics you mean. I have two groups of comics. I have the story, mm-hmm. story-oriented comics, which you can read on Webtoon, the Webtoon app. And I have the more funny social media style comics, which is stuff like Internet Explorer Chan, mm-hmm. Stalker, the meme comics I do. The meme comics, I would say it's just easy to like. People want fast, quick, fun entertainment that they can engage with fast and don't have to spend 20 minutes reading. People often find themselves on a train, find themselves going through Instagram, refreshing, looking through tags, same on Twitter, hashtags and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where they find my comics. And I have also a policy of most artists would say no reposting, but I actually allow reposting of my stuff. So my philosophy in that regard is that if people find it without finding it on my page, mm-hmm. then they wouldn't have found it to begin with.
Ah, that's true. That's a good point.
And when they finally do come across my page, then they are much more likely to follow because they've already seen and are already familiar with some of what I do.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good philosophy.
Thank you.
On your comics, is there like a watermark for your... I don't remember nope. offhand.
Nothing
you
at
like
all.
Sign them in the corner or something?
Nope. Nope. I actually suggested we could do something similar with an artist I work with, but he said it would ruin the art. So we don't do that.
You know Cyanide and Happiness?
I do.
They were we had them on two of the creators. They had described when they were first getting started early on, their stuff was posted mostly on MySpace, and they decided to put a URL, like a link to their website, explosum.net, I think. And as soon as they did that, they experienced huge growth. So that's why I was asking.
I see. Yes, I believe it would have worked for Cyanide and Happiness, but do remember we find ourselves in a world where increasingly people dedicate themselves to maybe the same three or four websites over and over.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a slightly different time now because people can share more easily all across the web. It's not limited to just like copying and pasting your HTML.
Websites like YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook have made it so easy to share anything you do that content have stopped being promoted on these platforms and are rather enjoyed on them. And it's actually pretty interesting. For an example, on Twitter, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, when you share something and then put a link on Twitter, they will actually semi-shadow ban your post because they want people to stay on Twitter. So,
I think Facebook does the same thing. That's why if you're ever sharing a link on Facebook, you should post it in the first comment and then put link in the comment as opposed to putting it in the post.
That's they have various ways of doing this, but basically they don't want people to advertise other platforms. They want to be the platform where you post content rather than advertise. So a lot of YouTube personalities specifically found themselves in a little bit of a pickle because every single one of their social medias kind of died out because they kept posting links.
Interesting.
What I do is I post, I try at my very best post the content itself on the platform so that obviously if I don't get shadow banned, that must mean I get promoted rather because everyone else is getting shadow banned and I'm not. So that's kind of a big reason for my growth as well.
Okay, that makes sense. By the way, Joe.
Yeah?
Speaking of growth and good things and etc.
Oh, yeah!
I think we should go ahead and talk about our first sponsor.
Amazon?
Amazon.t1podcast.com is a link to a website called Amazon. And if you haven't
probably heard of it,
Amazon is a place where you can buy a lot of cool stuff. You can buy books. That was what they originally for. You can buy video games. I think today is actually the second day of Amazon Prime Day.
But by the time this episode comes out...
So that won't help you at all, but...
Won't help you, but...
Amazon is a website that we know a lot of you already use for your shopping. And if you want to help support the show in a way that you're already buying stuff on there, this is a good way to do it. Go to amazon.t1podcast.com and just go ahead and shop. It'll take care of the rest for you. The cookie will stay on, and as long as you buy something within a relatively generous period of time, some of the proceeds go back to us, so it helps support the show, and you get the products that you enjoy. Amazon.t1podcast.com.
Amazon.t1podcast.com, and you have 24 hours to buy a bunch of stuff.
And thank you.
Amazon.t1podcast.com or Amazon?
T1podcast.com.
Like the letter T, the number one. Like T1 podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, right, let's go ahead and get back on to the show.
So, Mary, you're from, but you live in Tokyo.
But I'm from Denmark.
So how long have you lived in Japan?
I've lived in Japan for about 3 years on and off. I went for 3 months, then I went for 6 months, and then I went for a year. Now I'm going for, well, a year permanently. Like, I'll go back for Christmas, but that's it.
Is it for business or pleasure?
Both.
Oh, okay.
So the first time you went for 3 months, did you stay in a hostel or something? Or you stayed at, like, you rented a...
I stayed in a share house.
And then when you go for longer, like 6 months or a year, do you rent, like, an apartment or you...
Sort of. I had a social residence last time, which is a little bit more of a share house, but it's a little bit finer.
Okay.
So it's like, it's got cleaning personnel and stuff.
Sounds like you enjoy living there. What are some of the unusual aspects that you would not expect for anybody who's planning on moving there or visiting?
I would say one thing that was very amazing for me is that I come from a very small country. I come from Denmark, and Denmark is not by any means measure any sort of big. Even our biggest city isn't even that big. So when I went to Tokyo, the first thing you'd notice is how absolutely amazingly big the city is. It's also the fact that you don't really use cars at all because the public transport system is so efficient and so easy to use. There's always all the things that people know. It's crowded, but that really didn't. I mean, they all kind of look like NPCs anyway when you go over there. Like, you get used to it. No one looks like you. So that would be something unusual, I suppose, for me. But I'm not very used to, I'm not an American, for example.
Right,
I wouldn't know what another big city would look like yet. I've been around Europe. But
yeah, if you haven't been to America, by the way, like, Joe and I are Americans, so we're obviously very used to it here, but I highly recommend people check it out at some point. There's a lot of really cool cities here. There's New York City is just great to explore. Los Angeles is
a lot of
fun.
I'm actually going to New York this year.
Oh, you're headed there?
I'm going to Los Angeles and New York.
Oh, really?
We live
like just south of LA.
Yeah, we're North Orange County, which is kind of close to Los Angeles. Are you going there for like a convention or
I'm
something?
I'm going
or?
For Comic Con.
Ah, okay.
Oh, Comic Con.
Cool. Yeah.
I thought that was in San Diego.
I'm gonna. I believe Webtoon is having a green room party, I think they called it. I'm not really sure. They're having a party on the rooftop in New York, and then they are having a booth in Los Angeles.
Sounds good. Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, I highly recommend doing some sightseeing while you're there. I know there's like the stereotype like that, you know, Europe and Asia are the places to go when it comes for tourism, but America's very unique. It's got a flavor to it where it's like, the development started relatively late compared to other regions of the world, so it has a very unique vibe to it. It's kind of hard to explain. How would you explain it, Joe?
New York or America?
I guess both.
Well, it's so varied. In America, you can go, I mean, the big cities are very different than like the rural areas. I would say the thing that makes it probably different from like a smaller country is you can drive, especially in probably New York and LA, you could drive for probably hours and hours, depending on where you go. And you're just going to keep seeing big buildings and like residential areas. And it's just completely populated and built up for hours.
It's also different because like each of the 50 states has a completely unique style to it and culture. And it's like going to a different country with each of them.
Yeah, like Oklahoma is like a Van Gogh. It's like everything's like swirly. And then Los Angeles and California no. is like Da Vinci. Like
everything in Oklahoma is Van Gogh-like.
No, I'm just kidding, because he said it's all different style, its own style. So well,
I meant culturally, Joe, but yeah.
Culturally, what it looks like, what they have.
Mm-hmm.
No, that is true.
I have the fortunate thing of having grown up in Scandinavia, which is Northern Europe, and therefore I am both interested in American and Asian culture.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a Westerboo and a Weeaboo at the same time. Oh.
I hear that Scandinavia is quite pretty.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Well, he's so used to it.
Yeah.
Remember, I live in Denmark, which is right above Germany, so
yeah,
not that particularly cool right here. But I would suppose if you go to northern Denmark and you go to Sweden and Norway and stuff, you're going to go, even Finland, you're going to start seeing some really amazing. But right here, right where I am, it's kind of basic. I mean, one thing I really noticed when I went to Tokyo is it's just a lack of green everywhere. But when I go to Denmark, green everywhere.
Yeah, because
just a grassy plain, just the grass and stuff. It's really non-existent in Tokyo.
Well, I think it's because it's so developed, right?
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of rain where you are right now in Denmark?
Yes, a lot of rain.
How hard of a rain do you get? Is it like it pours a lot, or it's usually just like a light rain?
It varies, really. It varies as much as anywhere else. I've had pouring rain.
Oh, and you mentioned that you like to travel a lot, right? Like, where have you been throughout Europe? Like, have you been to Germany?
I've been to Cannes, the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh.
Which was pretty cool. I lost 80 euros in a casino twice.
All right.
I met Quentin. No, not Tarantino. It was Guillermo del Toro. You guys know.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Heard the name.
And Tim Roth.
Sounds familiar.
The bad guy in The Hulk.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it.
he's a cool actor. Really good actor.
By the way, Mary, I'd like to ask you some questions about your process as a comic creator. And I know that sounds like kind of like a basic question, but it's a question that I think a lot of people are going to want to know the answer to. What inspires the content creation process for you? What drives your work? What makes you get up in the morning and want to do it?
I just generally like it a lot. Like a lot of people want to live all sorts of different lives. That's why we play video games, really. It's to experience different worlds, different lives, live through the eyes of other people. And I've obviously, like everyone else, had those same wishes. But the problem is, if you want to be a masterclass detective, you gotta study a lot. You gotta to university. You gotta go through everything. You gotta train for your whole life. Same with a master chef. Same with a policeman. Same with pretty much anything you'd want to do. And video games, particularly, video games let us kind of experience these roles in a streamlined manner. And I have that feeling for comics as well. Comics to me is me being able to kind of create and live through worlds that I would never ever be able to do. And that's why I make. Now, how my creative process is, on the other hand, it's very streamlined as well. I've written so many comics. My process, where a lot of comic creators have tried to get their footing, is by creating one series and putting all of their effort into that. Whereas I always created like 10 half-assed series.
The shotgun approach to creation.
Yes. Just throw things at the wall without any glue, without anything at all, and see at some point something's going to stick. And once in a while, it did stick. And then I used money from that sticking thing to fund other things. And obviously, you learn a lot through that process as well. I believe it was Mark Zuckerberg who said, finished is better than perfect. You've got to finish many things. Because by finishing a story, you learn more than rewriting the same story over.
Yeah, I've often heard that perfect is the enemy of good enough as another example of that.
Absolutely.
I have struggled with that as a podcast creator and editor, but it's something I try to keep in mind. I have a live question, by the way, that one of the members of the audience would like to give, if you are willing.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And people, by the way, you can tune in at discord.t1podcast.com.
Where are we live?
Yeah, we are live right now. Well, not right now when you hear this on the recording, but right now in the reality. Go ahead, Junior Mod Ken. You are unmuted.
Kenny.
All right.
Kenna-ding-a-ding-dong.
What is...
Kenny.
What is probably your biggest inspiration?
Hey, whoa. Ken, say hello to our guest.
Oh, hello. Wilder.
Hello.
Hi. Sorry.
Kenny.
Kenny messing it up as always. Go ahead.
All right.
Kenna-lena-ding-ding.
Shut up, Joe.
Who is probably your biggest inspiration for writing, I'd say? For writing the comic. Who would be your biggest inspiration, do you think, for writing the comic?
Well, obviously, I have a lot of different comics, but one of my writing inspirations would be Nisui's, which is the creator Bakemonogatari, Medaka Box.
Okay.
I actually really adore long philosophical dialogue, which is amazing considering I really rarely have a chance to actually do that.
You know, Lars and I both studied philosophy in college.
Yeah, we share that interest as well.
Yeah. Mary, do you have a favorite philosopher?
I know names. I don't really know what they stand for, I'm afraid.
Well, that's right. I don't really have a favorite philosopher either. I just kind of like learning about what they sort of talked about. And I would say my favorite period was ancient Greek philosophy because it was so long ago that you basically have these ideas that were so really like silly ideas compared to today's knowledge of the world. Like, I forget who it was, but somebody thought that virtues were horses and each horse either has one or two wings and it was either able to fly into the heavens or not. And that wasn't metaphorical. That was literally what this guy thought. That was his solution to...
Yeah, ancient Greek philosophy is very interesting, to say the least. It's got a lot of really entertaining ideas and some of the foundations of modern thought as well. So, I mean, like, I don't want to discredit it, but...
It was really advanced for the time, but it was also really, really out there. But it had to be out there to try to stumble upon the truth.
Yeah.
I wrote a comic called Everywhere Nowhere, which is about a time traveling couple who go through different things. And actually, one of the arcs was where they went to Greece, ancient Greece, and traveled with Alcibiades. If you know who that is,
I think so.
The name.
It's the guy who cucked the king of Sparta.
Oh,
all right.
He also slept with Socrates. So,
oh,
he's kind of a philosopher.
Kind of, yeah.
He's got a little philosopher in him.
Ooh. Actually, that was relatively common back then in ancient Greece. They had the whole concept of like you mentored like a young boy. It's kind of yikes by today's standards.
Well, luckily, I mean, at least Alcibiades was of legal age.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, but what was the legal age back then?
I mean, he was above, like, 30, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Okay,
all right.
He was just very, very beautiful.
Sounds like it.
Okay, so let's talk, and I'm going to probably butcher this, but Gijinka, I think is how you pronounce it.
Gijinka, yes.
Gijinka.
So recently someone... this is... I assume the question is in regards to a tweet I made very recently.
Oh, I actually just wanted to talk about what it is, like, to kind of explain what one of the things that you're known for.
So Gijinka, or moification, as some people call it, or personification, is the act of turning inanimate objects or software or websites or tools, boats, anything really, inanimate objects into anime girls and personifying the items, inherent traits into personality traits, which is very amusing. So Earth-chan is a very famous example.
Yep.
Hmm.
And recently I got a message, say, from a certain individual, a certain gentleman, who mm-hmm. did not understand this concept. Obviously, I'm phrasing it in a more, in a nicer way than he was.
Yeah.
He did not understand this. He did not like it. He thought it was absolutely meaningless and pointless and didn't have any real meaning or value beyond just anime girls. And it made me curious because I really thought about this, like his question, that people would think these things, that these things would just be so alien and stupid to them. They would have absolutely no way of relating to any of it. And then I started like kind of thinking about it, but really we have been doing this for all of, it's not a meme. Why is this the only meme that doesn't die? It's never died. It keeps going. It's growing. That's because it's not a meme. It's just human nature. We personify objects. And then I wrote a whole thing on Twitter, which was about how pretty much everyone does it. Fishermen and pirates mm-hmm. with their boats. And pirates even put mascots on their boats.
Yeah.
Even Mickey Mouse and the rest of the gang. All cartoons, almost, for the most part.
And Johnny from Ed, Edd n Eddy put a face on a plank and called it plank.
That's... Could you do that with luggage?
Suppose you could.
What would that look with like? Luggage, yeah.
An like anime girl based on luggage?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I mean, you'd look at the different popular brands of luggage makers.
Delsey, Tumi, even Louis Vuitton.
I suppose Louis Vuitton, yeah. I mean, fashion characters, like characters based on sounds like...
luggage
champ. Hugo Boss, Louis Vuitton, Gucci. Yeah.
Sure.
There's room.
That would be
absolutely
a very high-end luggage.
It would be.
You know, the reason I ask you this is because I work in a hotel and I see a lot of luggage go through the hotel every day. And sometimes people bring in Louis Vuitton bags and they're not even real Louis Vuitton. And you can kind of tell by looking at it. It's not the same quality. It's not quite the right design.
Yeah, but no one cares,
I wonder.
No one cares about this at all.
I wonder.
Let's move on, please.
I wonder.
Come on.
I wonder.
All right, go ahead.
I wonder if you could take the different, like whether it's real or not, and turn it into like a trashy anime girl versus a really elegant anime girl, and have an entire series based on luggage.
Probably a bad idea.
The way I would do it uh-huh. is I would take obviously the popular brands and then I would turn them into anime girls, and the anime girls would kind of follow people around, and then they would kind of summon their items when they needed it. The fake ones, would be kind of bootleg versions of it, and they would kind of be portrayed as evil in the start. However, as we go on, as we kind of engage in the story, as the story moves on, these characters, the fake ones, start to appear more sympathetic with their because they're the cheaper versions and they're more affordable. And why should only affluent people be able to afford having good luggage like this, having good looking luggage? So I would kind of do it in that way.
Okay, are you feeling inspired to make this into a real comic?
I'm not sure about luggage. I think,
All right.
Fashion brands.
Okay.
I would very much. I like fashion. I am inspired by fashion. I like Louis Vuitton and Gucci. Now that sounds like I'm buying it. Sounds like I'm using my Patreon money to wear Louis Vuitton. I'm not. but
yeah,
my Patreon money is in fact going to comics. Don't worry, anyone listening. If you are indeed donating to my Patreon.
That's funny that you have to specify that.
You're $12,000 a month.
You'd be surprised. Some people do get absolutely annoyed at the mere notion that you might be misusing that sort of money. But no, I have income separately from that. I get ad revenue and I get a salary from Web2. So the money from Patreon do in fact go exclusively to comics.
Wow.
No worries, whoever might be listening. But yes, indeed, I do. I do have a fascination with these fashion brands. So yeah, probably yeah.
Okay. I have somewhat of a fascination with luggage.
No one cares.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on to our second and final sponsor, NordVPN.
NordVPN is an excellent VPN. brought to you by Nord, by the Nords for the Nords. It's going to protect you against all things that are going to come at your internet, like hackers, slackers, and mackers. And by that, I mean people hacking into your shit, the government trying to spy on your shit, and your internet service provider slowing down your shit. Nord.t1podcast.com, coupon code the first podcast.
People might want to check that out because one of the dumbest trends on the internet these days is your ISP throttling your data. Remember back in the day when AOL advertised that you get a certain amount of minutes per month and then you were kind of screwed? Well, it's kind of back again now where they cut your internet access way down once you've used, what, like 8 gigabytes, 4 gigabytes, even 2 gigabytes in some cases. NordVPN is a good way to get around that. If you go to nord.t1podcast.com, you can check them out on our behalf. The internet sucks today, but there's a way to bring it back to quality.
Also, you can watch different shows on Netflix from other regions.
Yes, that's true. If you want to watch The French Office in a place that's not French, that's a good way to do it.
Le Bureau.
The Bureau.
Nord.t1podcast.com has you covered with NordVPN. Use the checkout code THEFIRSTPODCAST, all one word, all words, at checkout, to get 75% off your first subscription. And that is going to do it for the ads for the rest of the episode. Thank you for playing along, Mary.
Very professional.
Yeah. Okay, so, Joe, I think we should toss a hypothetical question out. What do you think?
Did you have one in mind?
I did. Or, Mary, I have a tradition on this. Well, we have a tradition on this show of asking hypothetical questions to our guest, and I'd like to ask one of you right now, if you are willing.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what would be your useless superpower?
If I could run twice.
If you could run what?
Not like Sonic, not the speed of light, not like the Flash at all, just twice as fast
as you can.
I would barely use it. Minor things. When I go shopping, I only have to spend half the amount of time.
Yeah, because it's only useful if you're like a distance runner or something. Like it doesn't have very many.
I'm not
like
a very fast runner, so obviously I would still be beaten by UV bulb.
So it's like
It would be absolutely very useless in my hands, but just twice as fast. That would be good.
So it's already not that fast. Okay.
Just because I could see that in some regards it could be useful, like if you have to outrun somebody who's chasing you. Do you have another one?
Well, Joe, wait. How often are you going to get chased in real life, though? That's kind of something.
But not very often. Okay. But when you are getting chased, wouldn't it be useful to be able to run faster?
This? Okay,
I am able to eat plastic.
Eat plastic?
Yes.
That is completely useless.
Like when you say able to, do you mean
environment? I eat plastic so that.
Do you gain nutrients from it? Or you just don't get sick from it?
I gain absolutely nothing from it.
Oh, so that is completely.
You're just capable of consuming it with no ill
effects. It doesn't even fill me up. I don't even feel full.
It's not satisfying.
Able to eat it.
All right,
that's pretty useless.
That is completely. I can't imagine a single use for that. I mean, like, my trash can is pretty close to me, so it doesn't like save me any time. So, okay, I'll accept it.
The only possible use I could even possibly conceive of is if you somehow need to dispose of something plastic right away that there's no trash can and like. But even then, it's.
Even then, you could just hold on to it for a little while. Like you could wait.
Put it in your pocket.
Put it on the ground. If you
The chat is noting that you could use it to clean up the environment, and kinda, but it'd be a very slow clean. Like
it doesn't come with the ability to swim out into the middle of the ocean.
Also, so unless it really doesn't. I don't think plastic would necessarily taste good, so like it wouldn't be pleasant to do it. So you probably get sick of the cleaning very quickly.
Now, I would say, like, how much of it can you really clean up, like, one belly's full? Like Mary said.
I'd get sick of it faster than I would ever do a difference.
Yeah. That's a great one. Have the desire to do that, to swim out into the ocean and eat plastic.
I think you'd rather make comics. Need like a full generation of plastic eaters to actually make a difference. But even that is kind of far-fetched because that generation isn't going to be like, plastic.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I would say maybe one belly's full might be the limit, but you did mention that it does not fill you up. So I'm wondering, does that mean that it enters a void once it's in your stomach and you could eat a theoretical infinite amount?
I like to see it. I like to view it as this. It would still fill my stomach, but it would not make me any less hungry.
Okay.
So it just makes you hungry.
I would need to eat other food for my nutrients and to actually like gain what I need. Other than that, it's just,
okay.
And depending on how much plastic you've eaten, you might not be able to eat enough other food to satisfy you either.
Yeah, so I could starve myself. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right.
That's useful if you want to starve yourself, but short of wanting to starve yourself, that's pretty useless.
Anyway, you mentioned something earlier about how you think video games play this role of being able to experience all these different lifestyles and adventures and stuff. And a simple question based on that, which is, what have you been playing lately?
Final Fantasy Online.
Oh, 14?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
I enjoy it.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy it because I grew up playing World of Warcraft and RuneScape. And RuneScape and World of Warcraft... Well, RuneScape kind of didn't really have that problem, but it also didn't really have much of a story to begin with. It was just free roam. Once in a while, someone asks you to get something. It's not really... You're not... I cannot imagine you are the big hero who saves the day, really. It's just you are some random guy in RuneScape. In World of Warcraft, you are just a nameless, faceless champion. You never appear in cutscenes, at least not the parts of the game I've played.
Oh, in later parts of the game you do, actually.
Yeah, but not really, kind of, yes. But you're still not the main character. You're still not the focus. All the other people, like Thrall and Jaina Pratmon and stuff, they're all the focus. Sorry. You are not the focus of the story. You are not the person with special abilities. You're really just some guy. You're really just some nameless commander in the Alliance, in the Horde army.
Yeah.
And what Final Fantasy Online does different is that it includes your character in every single in every single cutscene right from the beginning. And you are named the Warrior of Light. And you're really like, your character's made to have animations to go along with these cutscenes. You're made to have dialogue with the various NPCs and with the various characters through the story. And you feel like you're really making a difference. You feel like you're really a strong character who's actually useful. And you are the main character. You're the protagonist. That's what I enjoy about it.
Okay, makes sense.
And because it's so slow-paced, a lot of people get turned off by this, but I think if you can like kind of force yourself through it, you really feel like when you get to a high level that you've been through tons of adventures. If you want to start it, I suggest take a lot of screenshots, just enjoy yourself, relax through it, and just enjoy the story.
Okay. And just to point something out, by the way, since you said you haven't really kept up with Warcraft, okay, so right now they're setting up Sylvanas to become, like, the new bad guy, and Thrall and Jaina are friends again. I don't know if that means anything to you.
I did see something about Jaina touching Thrall's pig, so I assume that's what that meant.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pop in one last live question. One second. Tej, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Hey guys, it's me, Tej, notable flat earther. Hey Mary, I just had a question. Tej. What's your favorite?
Hi. I'm sorry. No, I was making sure that. No, I was making sure that there weren't other people making noise in the background.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of in a public place right now.
All right.
Okay. Anyways, I have two things to say. One's more like a statement. The other one is my actual question. The first thing is. Right before this episode started, we were kind of pondering like different kinds of Jajinkas with different themes, like off, like different from the browsers. And I think we were talking about like podcast Jujinkas, which are just, I was thinking a different podcast, but reinterpreted as anime girls. So like maybe like this podcast or Meriwether's podcast or like the H3 podcast, but as anime girls. So yeah, so there's that idea. But then my question is mainly about the internet browser, the Internet Explorer webcomic. And it's, do you have like a list of browsers that you want to make into characters eventually? Because I know that there's some that you haven't done yet, like Safari and like some of the mobile browsers like Amazon Silk or like Samsung Internet or something like that. Like, you ever thought about doing those browsers?
Yes. Well, all of the internet browsers do exist in that world, and okay. They will at some point show up. So one thing I've been requested a lot, which I am going to add, is Brave.
Okay.
Is,
and yes, Safari will. Safari is the second biggest in terms of popularity because it's forced upon every yeah. Apple user in the world. Yep. So yeah, there's really no other option. So Safari is going to appear. It's just Safari isn't really part of the normal internet in that regard.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she's very separate from all the other characters, because only on Apple OS. Other than that, not particularly. There's no one that I really want to do other than Brave. I have Nayanara, which is the North Korean. Browser. I'm not sure if you guys ever heard that there's a North Korean browser, but it's called it's called Nayanara, and it's got access to 28 websites.
Yikes,
that many?
Yeah, but see the fascinating thing about the fascinating thing about what they call the Kwamyong intranet, and they call it the intranet because it's not an internet; it's more like a nationwide LAN party. Because every single connection goes to one PC in one location.
Hmm.
And
so it's like a server that hosts the websites on it.
A server hosts the entire web, the entire internet. There's no other servers. There's only one server, and it hosts like a certain set of amount of internet. So as a consequence, the internet in North Korea is extremely slow. And you really can't do anything on it. And it runs on a really, really old version of Firefox, which they named Nayanara. So it's very fascinating.
Is it at least like a modern server?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
You'd think the country could afford like a new server.
Well, they can. They don't want their citizens to know a lot of stuff. Like,
no, but I mean, just to make it faster.
There's one person who has Steam in the entirety of North Korea.
Ah.
As we could see, if you guys ever open up the Steam map where you can see all the places in the world where people use Steam,
yeah,
and there's like one, in Pyongyang, which is where Kim Jong-un lives.
Oh, is it him?
So he... I wonder who in Pyongyang uses.
Maybe it's him.
Steam.
It's probably Kim Jong-un.
You think?
Yeah, he probably. I mean, I don't know. Like, I have no idea, but. That would be my first guess.
What do you think he plays? What do you think Kim Jong-un plays?
I think he probably plays a lot of, like, dating sims and stuff, I'm guessing. I don't know.
My Little Dictator, that one.
All right. Yeah. I apologize for stating that we had one last live question, because now we actually
question. Real quick, I manufactured my own luggage. I built it myself out of mismatched parts from different luggages.
That
and I
posted is horrifying,
a picture.
Joe.
I made that using all the
luggage,
all the discarded parts that I found at the hotel I work at. I saved them up for a very long time and put them all together until I had enough for my own luggage. Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord. I guess
it's like a Gucci Louis Vuitton crossover bag with you.
No, all right, so I had everything except the base.
Joe,
and
why
I had
the
to go to
fuck
a thrift
did you
store
make this?
It is a Frankenstein luggage. It started out as a joke, and then when I found a zipper on the ground, and I said to my colleagues, you know what, I bet stuff goes missing all the time. Here's a zipper, and I look over and like, oh, here's a handle. I was like, I bet I could save up the pieces for a long time and make my own suitcase. And lo and behold, after just a week, I had enough pieces for the whole suitcase minus the base. So I go to a thrift store and bought the base and made my very own luggage.
I noticed people in the chat are like, all right, I gotta go, guys. Sorry. All right. I'll post a link to that in the show notes, I guess. I apologize for that. go ahead, Nathan, with your last live question, then we can kind of call it quits.
Alrighty. Hey, everyone. It's me, Nathan Darkson 94. So, Mary, I have a question. Do you know the whereabouts of Pale Moon? The browser, that is.
Pale Moon.
Yeah. It's a alternative to Firefox, which has like a bunch of tons of different themes that are just customizable. It's a fork of it, by the way.
I didn't know that existed.
It's Netscape-based.
Netscape Navigator. Well, I didn't know this was a thing. I'll look into it. Maybe that's a character. There's a ton of different Firefoxes, and I have considered doing something about that. Firefox herself does have like a Super Saiyan mode, which is Firefox Quantum. So that's a thing, but I'll look into Pale Moon. Netscape has appeared in the story. Netscape Navigator.
Alrighty.
So, yeah.
Alright, thank you, Nathan.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Meriwether, if people wanted to go ahead and check out your comics, what's the best way to do that?
You can follow me on Twitter at Meriwether and an EY at the end.
Why is there an EY at the end of it?
Because Meriwether was taken.
Oh, okay.
How do you pronounce that? Meriwethery?
Meriwethery. But it's just Meriwether. Yeah. It's just I have to add an E and a Y at the end of it. Because Meriwether was taken and Meriwethery with a Y at the end was banned by someone. Someone got the account suspended. So if you forget to put the E at the end, it looks like I've gotten banned.
Uh oh. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just I had to make a Twitter URL and now I'm too afraid to change it because then people can't.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Do you do any accents?
Any accents?
He's doing one right now. A Danish one. Joe.
I suppose.
Just curious. Just curious.
I'm actually really bad at like forcing it. But
well,
I did
okay.
get taught
don't worry about it.
To speak with a kind of British accent at one point. So sometimes you'll hear me speaking with kind of a half British, half Nordic accent.
Yeah, I noticed that at one point, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it comes out. It's because of the way I got taught English in school.
Okay.
But normally I do speak with a Danish accent.
I have two real quick last questions to kind of tie things off in the end. One of them is your podcast on hiatus now at this point?
Yeah. Kind of. Excuse me. Oh, I'm a little tired.
No
I
worries.
Went to a good restaurant, had a lot of cocktails.
Yeah.
I'm a little
we could tell.
Right
now. No, just
wow.
kidding. No, I'm just joking.
what was the question again?
Oh, the question
was the podcast.
Yeah,
is it on hiatus? Yes, it is on hiatus. It's not quite over, but my dear co-host ECK Beat is right now he's indisposed because he has to move back to Texas.
Okay. Okay, my last real quick final question is, why Meriwether?
It's a steampunk name generator.
Oh, so it's just completely random.
7 years ago, I had to have a name. By looking through some things, I had some stupid other names, but not for manga. And when I wanted to make comics, I had to find a name. I did the Childish Gambino thing that Donald Glover did, where I went online and found a name generator and used that. So I used that, found, I think it was like Leon Meriwether or something, and it turned into Rion Meriwether, and then it turned into R Meriwether, and then it's just Meriwether.
Okay. Good to know. I think that's going to go ahead and do it for the podcast, unless you have anything else to cover, Joe.
Oh, I could talk forever, but for the sake of your time, Meriwether, we'll let you go. Thanks again for joining us, and sorry again for not sending out that reminder. That was completely my bad. I think you're really going to enjoy listening to the intro.
It's actually very good timing.
Oh, good. Good. Just ignore the messages that I sent you scattered through the web when you run into them eventually. when you do see the one I sent you on Instagram, feel free to follow me back. I just want to show my friends, like, Meriwether's following me, guys. if you don't mind, that'd be
kind of awkward, Joe.
Well, on Instagram?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm just kidding. You don't have to. I mean, if you want to.
I follow you on Instagram. I don't care on Instagram.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, guys. It was very fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on your show. Yeah.
We usually like to end this on a funny note. Can you say something funny?
That's
like,
really awkward to say,
I'm just
say,
joking.
Joe.
I'm just joking.
You want me to say something funny?
Sure. I'm just joking.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
Oh, great.
I want to kill something and have it as a trophy.